Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. You're going to be glad you did because we've got a new friend with us this half hour, ladies and gentlemen. David Adler is with us. David is an author, a producer, a researcher. He's the author of a number of books, including American Economic Decline. His new book is called Snap Judgment. He's the producer of the upcoming PBS Nova documentary on behavioral finance, and he contributes to a number of publications, including Financial Planning Magazine, and he's our new friend, David Adler. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. You know, David, human beings have been investing money, have been earning money and investing it for millennia, but for some reason, as a species, we don't seem to be getting a lot better at it. What do you think?
Well, I think because we didn't evolve to invest money. We evolved, at least in terms of making snap judgments, you know, to decide whether or not we like someone, to avoid an object flying at us, to work in terms of a social world and a physical world, but we just didn't evolve to deal with complex big numbers and random markets. So the point of my book, essentially, Snap Judgment, is that by relying on the way we evolved, we actually will end up with making the wrong choice.
Well, I think you make a good point, but you didn't use a word that I think should be stuck in there, and that is you didn't use the word instinct.
Exactly.
And
you're
but
right.
That's what you described, of course. But to me, we become an instinctive species, not as much of a thoughtful, research-oriented patient species, haven't we?
Well, the point of the book is we can make decisions both ways. We can make them instinctually, or we can make them more thoughtfully and
right.
in a more deliberate way. And even though often you hear in the popular press, just trust your gut, the point of my book is that's true, you can trust your gut, but when it comes to finance, you must not, when it comes to making numbers-oriented decisions, do not trust your gut. It will only lead you astray.
You are so exactly right, David, because every time I've thought that I had a gut feeling about something, I say every time. I'm going to say 9 times out of 10. And, you know, anybody can get things right 1 out of 10 times. 9 times out of 10, my gut does not tell me give me the right information, especially when it comes to investing. But you think it's because... You think it's because we're pretty darn good, our instincts are pretty darn good about a lot of things, like survival.
Yeah,
and so we think, well, okay, you know, I got this survival thing down, so it must be good for something else.
Well, that's the truth is 99% of the time, trusting your gut is the way to go. Like whether you like someone or not, or you think someone's trustworthy, usually you should trust your gut. It just so happens, though, when it comes to numbers and investing, trusting your gut is the wrong way to go. And not only is it the wrong way to go, often large banks or the financial services industry know how you're going to react and so can exploit you.
Yeah.
There's another side to this. So it's not just a bad way to go. The industry, at its worst, knows where you're going with your gut.
Right.
And is right there to trip you up.
Manipulation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. And I was talking to someone within the last year who's a pretty savvy investment expert, and I asked this question. I said, does the small investor, does the little guy have a chance on Wall Street? And he answered me very shortly, very succinctly, with no.
Usually no, but as I outline in the book, Snap Judgment, there are a handful of ways where you actually can have a chance. There are a handful of ways where the market on the whole trips up, and if you're aware of everyone else's psychology and your own psychology, you do have a chance.
But most of us have jobs, which preclude us being able to do all the stuff that you just said.
It's time-consuming, but some of the ideas are actually pretty easy.
All right, talk to us about those.
One basic idea you need to know is that past performance does not guarantee future performance. I mean, everyone tells you that when they hand you a financial prospectus. But in fact, it might do more than just not guarantee it. It might be the wrong way to go. For instance, here's a simple idea that before we even get to investing, a simple idea that everyone makes a mistake with, including many financial planners. I write about this in Financial Planning Magazine a lot, and that is that most financial planning is done on a pre-tax basis.
Mm-hmm.
But what I mean, let's say you're busy with a job, so you use your financial planner to help you with your investments. What they show you, the end results, are like, it might look great, but you pay taxes, they don't. And
right.
So they may be making investments that look good before tax, but are not the right choices for you after tax.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're busy, as I outline in the book, you can still ask your planner, what does this look like after tax? I have to pay taxes. What should I be doing in terms of an after-tax decision?
Well, I think that should be the standard for any investment decision.
It should be, but, you know...
Unless you're dealing in Nuveen bonds or something.
It should be, but since you're... If you're just trusting your gut or making quick decisions, you might think, well, I'll just kind of wing the taxes or I'll pay them later, I'll figure it out. But really, that should be the beginning of any financial plan.
Right. In the book, you say that we avoid bonds to our peril.
There's an example. You said we don't have time, so we can't really beat the market. One problem, therefore, of avoiding the markets in bonds is because they're boring and... they're hard to understand.
They're not very sexy, are they?
No. As I said, have you ever heard anyone bragging about a hot bond?
No.
But people who had healthy bond portfolios really survived the downturn much better than everyone else.
Right.
The recent crisis.
So they're the guys who wear the gray suits and the gray ties? Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all very great, but that just because it's boring, you know, maybe there's some reason to not avoid it.
There's
maybe
nothing boring about making money, is there?
No. So, yeah, maybe go for the gray.
Yeah, go for gray, folks, and make more green. We've got 30 seconds. Give us a quick tip on investing before we go to the break.
One quick tip for investing before the break is, okay, here's another easy way to be, even if you don't have a lot of time, if you have some time and the stock market analyst makes a decision, you know, tells you to buy a stock or sell a stock, usually just completely disregard them. But
uh-huh.
If they change their way they rate the stock, if they upgrade or downgrade a stock, usually they know what they're doing. And because most people don't have time to follow it, the market is sluggish and reacting.
Mm-hmm.
So usually you have a little time there, a few days, a window, to go ahead and follow a decision and beat the market.
Ah, so follow their leaning, not their actions. Very interesting. David Adler, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called Snap Judgment. It's outstanding. 20 after. When we come back, I'm going to ask David, is America in an economic decline? Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. That's Robert Cray bringing us back. Little blues music there, one of my favorites. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. You can listen, you can read, you can ask questions, subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog. You got 1 minute, 5 minutes. Actually, we got a 5 second thing there you can do. We got something you can do there in 5 seconds, or 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever you like, whatever you have time for, whatever is on your mind under the Small Business Sun. We have something at smallbusinessadvocate.com. that will help you. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. David Adler is our guest. He's our new friend, soon to be old friend. He's the author of Snap Judgment, When to Trust Your Instincts, When to Ignore Them, and he's talking to us about some financial advice. David, tell us how we can find your book and how we can find you online.
Sure. I have a website called snapjudgmentbook.com. The book's published by the Financial Times Press, so you can find it at Amazon or bookstores.
Okay, thanks for that. And do you blog? Are you blogging?
I'm blogging a little bit for Psychology Today, and I'm writing now for Market Watch.
Okay, good.
And I also write for Barron's.
Right. All right, good for you. So folks, look for David's byline. David, a lot of small business owners, whatever money we have, and as you know, it's less this year than previous years for most of us, whatever money we have, there's always somewhere to put it in our business. Our business is always hungry for, because it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business, because we're all undercapitalized. And so the decision is, for most of us, is, you know, when do we say, okay, business, you've had enough. I'm gonna invest this in somebody else's business, like a stock or a bond. Help us with
well,
that.
Look, it's never an easy decision, and the main instinct from Snap Judgment is, rather than trusting your instinct, is you have to do a business plan and figure out where it's going. But the issue to think in the background financially is really about diversification. Mm-hmm. And in terms of that challenge, that, you know, you're basically putting all your eggs in one basket, but maybe you can grow the basket and hatch
right.
the eggs.
Right.
So, look, there's no. I'm not saying there's an easy answer, but you do know your own business, so you do have some inside information. But think at the end of the day, when you're planning to sell your business to retire, will, you know, what if it doesn't work out? What if it does work
right.
out? That, you know, maybe take some chips off the table.
Well, that's something that we all need to do. But I guess one of the main points I wanted to make is, whenever we take money away from our business, it's not like a consumer who bought a stock instead of buying a coat. You know, obviously that's going to be a better deal. It's you know, making it's changing from one investment decision to another investment decision. So we need to make sure we do as good a job as possible. Help us with that.
I think that makes sense. So the metric again is not, oh yeah, I'm going to stop having an extra dinner out,
right.
or yeah. So it's just choosing between two different
upgrading my computers one more time or buying a stock.
Yeah, well, no, those are both therefore investment decisions. So
mm-hmm.
both can be used in an investing framework and making some sort of analysis comparing the two. Basically, you know, what
right.
is the expected future value of cash flows, things
but,
like that.
But let's say that we've decided to go ahead and take the money out of the company and put it somewhere else. Help us with those decisions. How do we? What's the best way for us to have the best chance to thrive?
Sure. The best way to serve, as you said, is, I mean, you could try and beat the market, but unless you're a hedge fund manager, unless it's your job, the question is it really worth your time trying to beat the market? So unless you're a full-time professional, that's very time-consuming. Just doing as well as the market's not the end of the world. The basic answer that is not new news, but it's important news, and you must never forget about it, is that it comes down to asset allocation.
Mm-hmm.
That is, how much you put into stocks, how much you put in bonds. That ultimately will determine your investment returns.
Mm-hmm.
And what that's another way of saying is, how much risk are you taking in your investing? If you put a lot in bonds, you're taking a lot less risk.
Mm-hmm.
If you put your money in stocks, you're taking a lot more risk.
So should we look for a financial planner?
Financial planner is a good... I write for Financial Planning Magazine. I like financial planners. As long as you're aware of their flaws, yes.
What are their flaws?
Their flaws, number one, as I said, they're deep flaws.
Because they'll tell us they're good things. What are their flaws?
Their deep flaw is everything's done pre-tax,
yeah.
which may seem like nothing.
You mentioned that earlier, yeah.
Yeah, but that's their deep, deep flaw.
But you can fix that. Just say, give it to me another way.
Yeah, it'll require a lot more work for them. They may be resistant,
yeah.
But they can do that.
Well,
another flaw is often they're really trying to sell products connected to their parents. So if you belong to a financial planner... that is, you know, part of a certain financial company, some
right.
that is other mutual
right.
funds. So that's in fact, really
some,
other.
Some do and some don't, though, right?
So, no, it depends on the person, and that's an example where you might trust your gut a little bit.
Yeah.
So even if you have to trust your mind for your financial plan itself, you can trust your gut whether or not you trust the planner.
So when you're picking a planner, find one that's not going to be as tied to a product, and also tell that person, whenever you give me information, I want it to be after tax.
Exactly. But that's
uh-huh.
hard for them to do. It may
yeah.
sound easy, but
well,
it's not
keep
easy.
Keep shopping until you find one who will do it.
Yeah. But you
David, I'm going to get you back another day, because we got more to talk about if you'll come back. But before we go, is America in economic decline?
Not necessarily. I think America made too many collective snap judgments and is paying the price. But America can bounce back. But right now, things are a little dark. But I wouldn't say it's a long-term decline. It's just a short-term dark
long,
period.
Long-term, over the next generation or two, you still bearish? I'm sorry, still bullish on America?
Yeah, America always bounces back,
yeah.
And always has before. But also, let's think America, time after time, goes through these crises that we're in right now, where people make collective snap judgments.
Right.
We get bubbles,
and it seems like we still never learn, doesn't it? Hey, David, will you come back another day?
No, I'd love to come back.
David Adler, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called Snap Judgment. Thanks, David. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back. I promise.
Young boy,
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.